Welcome in, everybody, to our May edition of the Sportslandia show here on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM. Darren, and guess who we were able to dig up, the original co-host of the show, now turned guest host for his once yearly appearance. We have Austin back on to tell us a little bit of everything. We're going to rapid fire sports questions at him and get his takes.
Life has changed a little bit. I had to take a little hiatus due to coaching, but I had to take a little hiatus because I'm a dad now. I'm excited to get back here and answer some questions. And we got baby girl sleeping on the lap right now, so let's take care of business so we can handle it.
Would you like everybody's parenting advice after this if they want to send you their do's and don'ts?
Of course, I love to have everybody's opinion on how to raise my child. It's perfect.
Especially when they see you doing things and then they can correct you as you're doing them.
What I've learned is everybody has an opinion, but until they raise their own kid, nobody's opinion actually matters. So if you're willing to give me some advice, I'm always willing to take it. But at the end of the day, my kid is my kid, and I'm gonna love her the way I need to. So it's been a blessing, and I'm ready to teach her some softball, but right now I'm ready to answer some questions about some sports.
Oh, that was going to be my question. Has she shown any aptitude for any sports yet or any interest?
She's a month and a half old, 2 months old, so no.
Dexterity is not quite there yet. The arm control, the hand-eye coordination.
She can't even hold her head up yet, so we're one day at a time here. We're letting her figure out how to see colors before we teach her how to throw a softball.
Well, let's talk about that AL West. Let's start there. We're gonna part of our peppering of questions here. Seattle Mariners, would you like to have the fans panic? I know we have 100 games left, but 24-27 for the defending AL champions and on the cusp of a World Series title, and now they're struggling to be at 500.
No, I don't think there's any room to panic. I think that they had the same problems they had last year. They good pitching staff, rough hitting, which in the long run is going to be okay, but right now it can be tough when the hitting goes down. But as long as they can stay healthy and as long as the pitching staff can manage what they need to do to take care of, then I don't think they're going to have a problem. I just think that right now it's tough because the hitting isn't necessarily as hot as it can be. So that division isn't overly strong. It's not going to be a tough division to get after. I just think that they need to get the bats warmed up a little more.
For people like myself who have not really been in on Major League Baseball yet this year, we have the Mariners at 24-27 as we're airing this episode for the first time. But as you mentioned, the AL West and kind of the entire AL, nobody wants to be good except for the Yankees and the Rays. Basically, the rest of the AL is at 500 or under, and the don't have a home Athletics are leading the West. And then the Rangers, Seattle, the Astros are finally bad. Are we finally done with the Astros being good? That'll be nice. And then, as you'd expect, the LA Angels at the bottom of the barrel, as they have been for 15 years.
Yeah, the Astros, I don't know if they're bad or they right now they I think they have 11 pitchers on injured reserve, some wild number. So they've had a little bit of a regression just because they have nobody healthy. It's hard to get major league batters out. It's hard to get major league batters out with AAA arms. So I don't know what's gonna end up being that, but I don't anticipate the Athletics over the long run being good. So the Mariners are actually in a good spot. Like I said, their pitching needs to get a little bit healthier, and they just got to wake up the bats just enough so that they can win some more games.
And just to add a little context to that, Randy Arozarena, probably the leading hitter right now, the only guy batting over 300. Cal Raleigh, well, how's this for numerology? He's batting 161 on 161 at bats and 16 runs. That may not mean anything, but numerology. And yeah,
It's also not very good.
there's also that. Yes, as I'm looking at everybody's numbers, like, yeah, I kind of get what you're saying. Other than Arozarena, Julio's doing all right.
Yeah, it's just been tough sledding. So, but it again is the same problem they had last year. So, and they didn't really want to address it. So, we can't be surprised. that it's going to be the same problem. Like they didn't really do much to fix it. So they'll have their streak and they'll have their moments where they're going to be good and they're going to explode on offense here in a little bit. But at the end of the day, their team is carried by their pitching staff. And when their pitching staff isn't healthy, it's hard to be carried by something that's broken. This is what it is.
And we don't need to spend a whole lot of time on it, but quick hitters on the rest of the baseball divisions, American League, you have the Yankees and the Rays right now, pretty well dominating, and the rest of the three lagging.
I mean, they're the two best teams in the American League right now. I don't know that it's particularly close. Now, what that means in the rest of the year, I don't really know, but the Yankees were off to a hot start. They got probably the best pitching staff in the league. And so that's no shocker. And the Rays, of course, they're kind of the Moneyball team where they just kind of cling on, hang on. They do well in their scouting, and so they have some good players coming through the ranks, but I don't know if that's going to be something that's going to be withstanding throughout the course of the year.
And looking over at the Central, Cleveland in the lead, which it feels like we kind of are used to the Guardians leading the Central. The White Sox are 25 and 24, the worst team in the history of pro sports for the last few years, are in there. Your beloved Twins right there in the middle of the pack, and then Detroit and Kansas City, who I thought were both supposed to be moderately good, are very far from good right now.
Detroit's best pitcher, Tarek Skubal, is not pitching, so that doesn't make it any easier on them. But that's a division where the Twins are off to a decent start, but that's more of a division where it's Cleveland's to lose. Like nobody wants to win it. And so as long as Cleveland stays healthy and does Cleveland things, there's no reason why they shouldn't just go pull the pole here and win the division relatively easily.
Over in the National League, Atlanta doing Atlanta things last year. If you're their fans, hopefully it was an aberration, but they are crushing right now. Are they the best team in baseball? At least record-wise, they are the best team in baseball. Phillies hanging in there at 500. The Nationals are surprisingly at 500. Miami is as bad as you would expect. And the Mets, the billion-dollar Mets, are at the bottom.
Mets are bad. It is funny you say that because I looked at their roster and you look at I watched them play game one. And you said, "Whoa, this team should be good." But sometimes baseball isn't just about who you put on the field. It's why you put them out there, and if the team doesn't want to play like a team, then it doesn't matter who it is. And even in the pros, that matters. And it doesn't feel like that team really is a team. It feels like it's a bunch of dudes making a lot of money. And over the course of a season, if you don't like each other, you're not going to win a lot of games. It's just how it's going to go. So Atlanta's got the best roster. Philadelphia obviously is good. And so when you got two teams in your division that are going to make the playoffs almost, it feels like you're just running uphill. So it was going to be tough for the Mets. I don't know what's going to happen, but Atlanta and Philadelphia are just really, really good. So it's going to be hard for them.
Over in the Central, Milwaukee, as kind of like Cleveland, we come to expect, leading the way here. St. Louis is back after a couple down years. The Cubbies are having a great start. Even the Reds and the Pirates, every team in the Central is above 500 right now. Kind of feels, to the casual observer like myself, feels pretty wide open, but it's good to see a division where everybody's competitive.
Yeah, and the Brewers had a really strong year last year, so it's no surprise that they're back again this year. I mean, that shouldn't shock anybody. Now, I don't know that they have a World Series caliber team. We kind of learned that last year. Once you get to the playoffs, things change. You got to have a few arms that are top tier arms in order to really win some games. But in terms of what they can do during the regular season, they have a lot of good pieces that are going to really carry you through a regular season. They're young, fast, strong. Enjoy playing the game. So it's no surprise that they're back at the top again. And maybe they'll make a run, maybe they won't. But I don't think should shock anybody that they're going to be at the top of the list when it comes to the playoffs.
And lastly, the NL West, as we know, we do have some NL West fans in this neck of the woods. The Dodgers, of course, on top by quite a wide margin, only behind the Braves in record. Padres would be the closest team nipping at their heels. You have the Diamondbacks middle of the pack, and the Giants, and of course, Colorado is the worst team. Well, between the Rockies and Angels battling for the worst team in baseball.
And it's unfortunate. I live in a household with a Dodgers, which is, with another Dodgers fan, with a Dodgers fan. So we watch the Dodgers games a lot, and it's just the star power and the firepower that they have on their roster. It's unfair. And so, can anybody be surprised that they're gonna be good? Or is anybody shocked that they're good? I don't know that anybody's surprised at this point. And so they're gonna be a team that's gonna be right there in the thick of it at the end of the year. Whether they end up with the best record in the league or not, they're gonna be playing for a World Series or close to it. So, good luck to everybody else in that division. I mean, you're in the chase back until you can catch them. It's just kind of what it is. You gotta spend money. Dodgers got it. They love it. I would do it too.
Almost like baseball should have a salary cap.
Yeah, good luck telling the players that.
The NL West is a perfect example. Everybody else is just playing for a wild card every year. The other divisions have an opening. NL West, you're just saying, okay, well, we know the Dodgers are going to win, so let's hope we get a couple wild card spots.
Yeah, with the new CBA coming up, we'll see what's going to happen. But I doubt there's no player that's going to agree to a salary cap. It's whether or not the owners want to force their hand and twist their arm. But there's no way that any player is going to agree to a salary cap. So until that day happens, or a luxury tax or some sort of like that, the teams that spend the most money are most likely going to win, and the Dodgers are proof of that. And I don't blame them, because it wasn't always like that for the Dodgers. There was a stretch about 10, 15 years ago where you watch those games, they didn't have anybody in the stands. So it can happen. They just are in a large market where they can spend a lot of money. So what do you do?
Would you like to pick some, tell us who the MVP winners are going to be, your Cy Youngs? Or is it too early in the season for such frivolities?
It's a little early. It's a
Good,
little
because I'm looking
early.
at the names of the guys at the top of the statistical categories, and I'm like, I don't know that this is a interesting list of people. Schwarber's leading in
No,
home
it's too. It's
runs.
probably a little early. I mean, there's some guys having
Hey,
some good
Byron
years,
Buxton.
but yeah, he's
Good for
not as
you.
good as you think he is.
Oh
He
no,
has
I
like,
teasing Byron
what's
Buxton has
that?
been one of my joys of the last 5 years of doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, Byron Buxton, he's hitting a lot of home runs, but he's probably got, I think, out of his 15 home runs, probably 10 of them are solo home runs. It's just like, what are we doing? There's no production. Bats lead off and just like does his thing, and then the rest of the lineup just pretends that they forgot how to play baseball. I don't want to get into the Twins though. You're gonna trigger me.
I don't know who Cam Schlittler is, but he looks like a good pick for NL or AL Cy Younger.
Schlittler.
Littler.
Yeah.
See,
He's
told
a
you I
pitcher
don't
for the
know.
Yankees. He's really good, tall, comes downhill. He pitched in the against the Jays in the postseason last year. Jays? Yeah. He's new, young, super young, but he's going to be a star. He's really good.
Well, see, this is me getting my introduction to baseball for the year.
There you go. It's got to start sometime. Usually it doesn't start till the 4th of July. I'm proud that you're jumping on it early this year.
Thank you. It's like occasionally on Fox on Saturday night, so I'll put it on in the background and half pay attention to 3 innings.
Oh, so you're telling me that you're not like me, and you pay for the MLB package on opening days to make sure that you have everything available 24/7?
I didn't realize that was a thing people could do.
I mean, when you get 20% off, like, you might as well just watch every baseball game every day. This is like not a thing. People don't do this.
I have a general disinterest in paying for sports in general, so especially baseball, because that's a lot of baseball to watch.
Oh, I didn't realize that having an MLB subscription and a Peacock subscription and an Amazon subscription and every other subscription to watch all the games at once was like not a normal thing.
But if
I
you
assumed everybody just paid for everything so they could just watch it all.
You know, it's the Marie Kondo concept. Is it bringing you joy?
Paying for Amazon Prime to watch game seven of the NBA playoffs brings me joy.
Okay, then that is worth it. As Marie Kondo taught us, if it brings you joy, you can do
It's to me, it feels like it's worth it.
Well, see, that's why I have to rely on my newspapers and my Instagram and my websites to tell me what's happening in the sports world, because I am not going to pay money to watch regular season football games. Or speaking of Amazon Prime, we'll get to the NBA here in a minute. The ridiculousness of, oh, you want to watch the entire second round of the NBA? Get Amazon. How about not? How about you've been putting free games on ABC and NBC all season long, and you give me those free games in the playoffs?
Yeah, but everybody has Amazon Prime these days. So, like, why not?
I will
Everybody
not.
has it,
No.
except for you.
I will be the last convert when they start putting, when you're going to need 7 subscriptions to watch the NFL and you're going to need 9 subscriptions to watch NBA, and I'm going to be the holdout. I'm going to be the guy looking for the whatever Angels Rockies interleague series that they play on ION television. That's going to be me.
There you go. You can start watching the WNBA.
Good. That'll make me a WNBA fan if it's the only sport that's on free TV. I'll become a diehard for the WNBA.
There you go. See, I knew there was a reason why we had this conversation.
Well, WNBA is for the latter half of the show. We got to get to the NBA first. So, anything else baseball before I make you talk about basketball?
No, I'm already triggered by the Twins, so we can move on.
Good. We'll get to the Blazers here in a minute, but quick with the actual basketball we have going on as this show is dropping. We are 1-1 in the Western Conference Finals with Thunder and Spurs, and then you have the Cavs and the Knicks out in the East gearing up to play their second game. So would you like to make a look in your crystal ball, NBA Finals predictions?
Yeah, I don't believe in James Harden or the way that the Cavaliers play. So I just believe that the Knicks are a better team. I think that they're probably going to take this series. I mean, they score 44 points in the last like 7 minutes in overtime of the previous game to just kind of, I don't know. I'm not a, I love James Harden. I'm an Arizona State guy, but I just don't anticipate him being anybody that's going to win a championship. So I think the Knicks will probably take it pretty easily. It'll probably be a 4-2, 4-1 series. Is my thought in that one. I think they are overall the better team, top to bottom. They play harder, got better scoring, play better defense. Tie you in championships.
Yeah, I'm with you. I happy to have the Cavaliers here. Good for them. I think Donovan Mitchell in like the year 10 finally making a conference finals. Good for him. I think Harden's made a finals bef conference final, but never made an NBA final. So those are your two best players, two guys who've been grinding for a long time. I just don't think they can match up with, like you're saying, everything the Knicks bring to the table. The Knicks are another team that we're used to them choking, and it's hard to trust, but this feels like this may finally be the year that they make the finals. I think a lot of people are saying this online, so I'm going to jump on the pile. The Western Conference Finals is the actual NBA Finals, and as good as the Knicks are compared to the rest of the East, I think we are gearing up for the Thunder or the Spurs. My pick is the Thunder, but the winner of that series looks like they're probably going to roll through the Eastern Conference champion.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say. Like, OKC's been in the finals before, so certainly we know what they're capable of. And they weren't there last year, and they obviously they took care of business. Now, if the Spurs make it, it's a younger-ish team. They got some veterans on their team, but you know, when they roll around a star that's 22 years old, like it's a big light. So it's hard to say what Wembanyama would look like in the finals. Obviously, he's looked really good so far. I mean, he played the game of his life in game one. And they've looked good. The hard part about that is I just don't. It's funny because I think the style of play, like I'd rather watch the Eastern Conference, but in terms of like the talent on the teams, I think I'd rather watch the Western Conference. And so, the Western Conference to me isn't overly entertaining. They're just two really, really, really good teams. I think the Eastern Conference is probably a more entertaining product. But I think the Thunder and Spurs are probably the two best teams in the NBA. It'll be a fun watch. It'll be a fun watch either way. And so I'm kind of curious as to how that series goes down with two stars on each team.
Well, fans, get comfortable, and this is probably not the news that Blazers fans want to hear. But I think for the next 5 years, as long as Wemby stays healthy and the Thunder keep most of that core together, this feels like the Western Conference Finals for the next 5 years of these two teams just being so far ahead of everybody else. And as much of a Nuggets fan as I am, and the Timberwolves look fun, I think this is just the beginning of the Thunder Spurs rivalry. And every Western Conference final for the next 5 to 10 years is going to go through these two teams.
Yeah, I do feel like it's going to be similar to like those the Kobe Bryant Lakers and the Tim Duncan Spurs, right? Where it's just like we all kind of know what's going to happen here. So
And
when it's what's that?
you hate to see it. Like, you think about somebody like Anthony Edwards, who's could be, I'm trying to think like who a comparison would be, where he's like, he's going to be great and he's going to have this great career, and he just always runs into, it's like guys in the 90s running into Jordan. It's like, man, Patrick Ewing and Reggie Miller and these guys were so good, but you just always had Jordan in the way.
Well, one comparison would be the team I rooted for in that era would be the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns were running into Lakers or the Spurs every year, and they just never could do it.
With Nash and Stoudemire and
There's some good
Horace
teams.
Diaw, Rajah
Yeah,
Bell.
Leandro Barbosa. Yeah, Sean Marion. Some squads, but when you go up against star power, it's hard to win. Like, it's just the truth. And sometimes when you have the best players in the league. I mean, they just gave Shea the MVP, right? So, best player in the league and the best defensive player in the league. It's a challenge. It's really hard.
All right. Do you have your finals pick? I'm taking the Thunder to beat the Knicks in probably six. I think the
Oh,
Knicks can get a couple.
I'll take the Knicks to beat the Spurs then.
Oh, nice. I like you going out on an edge.
Yeah, we gotta change things up here. We can't root for their favorite all the time.
All right. Now, I know there's a lot of talk going around about the Blazers. We're going to focus more on the actual on-court product and the X's and O's than any of the off-court stuff. But as you look ahead for next season, what do we expect from this team? I think they're a bit of a surprise to make the playoffs. We presumably have the return of Dame for maybe his, I don't know if last year would be Dame's final year, if he's got 2 years left on his deal. But they really bring back everybody. You've still got Jrue Holiday and Jeremy Grant on the books. Denny Adia, is he the future star now? Really, my point is,
Denny Avdija. I mean,
Avdija.
he didn't come out of nowhere. If you were a Portland fan, you knew exactly who he was. But in terms of the rest of the NBA world, he definitely was somebody that I don't think they anticipated to be who he was. Obviously, he turned into an all-star, which is awesome this year. And the best player on the Blazers. So having Dame back will be good. I don't know how good he's going to be. I think he might spark the team a little bit. But certainly going to be a defensive liability. Jrue Holiday is good, but old, and then Scoot Henderson. So they do have a lot of returning parts. I think they're going to be a fun team to watch. But in terms of what their threat's going to be, they're going to be middle of the pack Western Conference team. New ownership's not going to really help you out with that a lot either. So it's just going to kind of be a tough team to get behind. They're a fun team to watch. And there's going to have moments where you're going to think that they have a chance. But in reality, compared to the other rosters in the NBA, they're not really going to be comparing to the top of the line teams.
Well, that's what I was kind of where I was leading to is, do we need to kind of start thinking that this is time to shine for this team? Because Denny, who the Wizards are probably a little bit frustrated to see how much he blossomed just last year, was a top five pick for them several years ago and just never quite reached those heights, and then comes to the Blazers and shows out. And so you have him, and then the rest of this younger core is, at what point are we saying, okay, it's time for these guys to pop, or are they going to get traded kind of like Ant did, when you've got this, what I would call the young core of Scoot, Shaedon Sharpe, Donovan Clingan, Jan-Han Sen, Chris Murray, and Toumani Kamara, who most of those guys are signed for at least 2 more years. So you've got a lot of time to develop them, but are they going to kind of get, Gary Trent, is that his name? He and Anfernee Simons, we thought they were going to be part of the young core and they got shipped out. So I wonder, are the Blazers, how many of these younger, recent high draft picks are they keeping, and are they going to move off of anybody?
Yeah, that's a good question, and there is a term life on things that go down like that. And this year was a little tough because they lost their coach first game of the year. I actually thought it was better for them. But the development trend changes a little bit. Once you lose a coach like that, so we'll kind of see what happens this year. I think that they're going to be in a good spot, and I think they're making progress. But I also think that it's going to be, some things are Jimmies and Joes, and you don't quite have all the Jimmies and Joes that you need. So it's going to be challenged that way.
So if we assume the Thunder and the Spurs are 1 and 2 for a while looking forward, are Blazers battling for that number three, or are they still a little bit behind what we would assume with the Wolves and the we'll see what happens with the Lakers with LeBron and Luka and the Nuggets? There's even talk that Jokic is gonna move, but are we is it can we be bold enough to think the Blazers will be a top three in the West, or is that a little too rich for your blood right now?
I think that's a little too bold. I think they don't have the star power. Anthony Edwards, LeBron James, Luka. We still got Joker out there. Booker's still lingering. Obviously, like he had a little bit of a down year, but he's still lingering. Like there's just a lot of star power, and the Blazers don't quite have the star power, in order to really cling on to,
See what you did there.
the
Clang
top
on.
side of the top side of the West. Yeah.
How does this happen all the time where the West is always amazing and the East is not? Like the Blazers would probably be third or fourth in the East, and then you just could kind of list off all the great teams and great players in the West. And it's been that way for 25 years.
Ownership. One word. Better owners.
Like we were other than the Celtics and Knicks, it's like, yeah, well, the Blazers could probably hang with most of those teams. And we're going to talk WNBA quick. I know the season is just getting underway, but a big season for Portland as the debut of the Portland Fire. And I know very early in the year, but 2-3, nice little start to the season for Portland. Have you taken in a Fire game yet, or?
But yeah, we went to the we because we because me and my better half were a big Sabrina Ionescu fan. So we actually went over to watch the Fire play the Liberty. Now Sabrina didn't play, but we learned a lot about that Fire team. They're young, they're feisty, they play good defense. Are they gonna overwhelm you with their firepower on offense? No. Are they gonna overwhelm you with their star power? No. But they're gonna win some games because they play well as a team, they play good defense, and they just got some young players that are gonna play hard. So that game was fun. I think that we did go to their first win of the franchise, which was really cool, and they got a lot of energy. So if you want, if you're bored and you wanna and you have any something to do, pull up highlights from any one of the games, the home games, the crowds. Have been really good and been quite electric. So it's been a fun team so far, and I hope that they can continue to ride this momentum throughout the regular season.
May 30th, Fire versus Fever at the Moda Center on CBS. That's getting big time prime time broadcast. So there you go.
There you go. Just buy your tickets. They're gonna be like $40. Just go to the game.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay, that's a lot of counting. So there's still 20 plus home games to get to before the season's over. So lots of opportunities and I think basically every team in the league is coming to town as well. So if you have favorite players or some Pac-12 alums playing on some of these other teams, you will get a chance to see, I think, pretty much everyone.
As I look at the clock, I see that we are at our time. Apologies, I had a lot more I wanted to get to. We will be back in June, July, August, the third Thursday of every month here on Sportslandia on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian, proud to be Southwest Washington's leading news source. Since 1920, the Campbell family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
La programación de KXRW es posible gracias a socios como Buckley & Associates, abogados que ayudan a víctimas lesionados a obtener la justicia que merecen por más de 40 años, con licencia en el estado de Washington. Su equipo diverso habla más de 7 idiomas, haciendo que tus derechos sean más accesibles y fáciles de entender. Conoce más en BuckleyLaw.net. Repito, BuckleyLaw.net. Buckley & Associates. Hablan tu idioma.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
Chúng tôi nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.